In the heart of Tokyo, a young journalist stood before flashing cameras, about to shatter Japan's culture of silence around sexual assault. Shiori Ito's decision to publicly name her alleged rapist wasn't just personal. It was revolutionary in a country where sexual violence victims typically disappear into what prosecutors call a black box, cases deemed unknowable and therefore dismissible. Despite Japan's reputation for safety, Ito discovered the most dangerous threat wasn't in war zones she'd reported from, but in her own country, where the systems designed to protect victims systematically failed her. Her story challenges not just one powerful man, but an entire structure built to silence survivors. The title, Black Box, perfectly captures both her personal nightmare and the opaque system that processes, and often dismisses, sexual assault cases in Japan, treating them as fundamentally unknowable despite clear evidence. Born in 1989, Ito grew up with an independent spirit and strong sense of justice. Her American mother allowed her unusual freedom, and she began modeling at nine, an experience that taught her painful lessons about standing out in conformity-focused Japan. After a hospitalization in middle school, she gained perspective and pursued unconventional paths, studying internationally while chasing journalism dreams in New York. At a New York piano bar, she met Noriyuki Yamaguchi, Tokyo Broadcasting System's Washington Bureau Chief. When financial struggles forced her return to Japan, she contacted him about possibly interning at TBS's Washington Bureau. Surprisingly, he offered a paid producer position instead. What should have been a career breakthrough would instead become the night that changed everything. On April 3, 2015, after covering a sumo tournament for Reuters, Ito met Yamaguchi at Ebisu Station. They visited two restaurants, discussing her potential Washington position. At the second restaurant, she suddenly felt dizzy in the bathroom and blacked out. She regained consciousness in pain, pinned beneath Yamaguchi on a hotel bed. Despite her pleas, he continued. Only when she claimed she needed the bathroom did he release her. In the mirror, she saw her naked body covered in red marks and bleeding. When she tried to escape, he caught her, threw her onto the bed, and assaulted her again, pressing her face into the mattress until she couldn't breathe. In that terrifying moment, she thought she would die. When Yamaguchi said he wanted to keep her underwear as a souvenir, she went limp. She hastily dressed and fled, discovering she was at the Sheraton Miyako Hotel. The taxi ride home around 5:50 a.m. was a blur as she tried to recall what happened between the restaurant bathroom and waking up, but encountered only blankness. Even in her apartment, Ito couldn't escape the trauma. Flashbacks consumed her as she curled into the fetal position. Yamaguchi called that morning in the same business-like tone, mentioning the visa. They spoke as if nothing had happened. She was terrified. Yamaguchi had powerful connections in politics and media. Would accusing him end her journalism career? Would TBS shield him and sue her for defamation? When her sister called, Ito pretended nothing had happened, though she did visit a clinic for the morning after pill. The doctor never looked up. If she had asked what was wrong, perhaps everything would have unfolded differently. 5 days after the attack, Ito went to the Harajuku Police Department. At the front desk, she had to explain her situation publicly before being directed to a female officer from the traffic department. After recounting her story twice over 4 hours to different officers, she learned she needed to return when a Takanawa investigator arrived. 2 days later, she met Mr. A, the Takanawa investigator handling her case. His reaction was chillingly casual. This kind of thing happens all the time, and there's no easy way to investigate cases like these. He explained how difficult prosecution would be without immediate DNA evidence, seemingly dismissing her case before it began. On April 15th, Ito accompanied investigator Mr. A to the Sheraton Miyako Hotel. Security footage showed Yamaguchi dragging her unconscious body from a taxi and carrying her through the lobby while the bellman watched. Seeing herself unconscious made her nauseous. The footage clearly showed her being carried without her feet touching the ground. Initially, this evidence strengthened her case, but after an arrest warrant was issued, Mr. A called with devastating news. "We were not able to arrest him. We were prepared to do so, but at the last minute, we were ordered to stop." The order came from the top of the Tokyo Metropolitan Police Department. Both the investigator and prosecutor were immediately removed from the case. The new investigation team claimed that since no weapon was used and Yamaguchi had social status, there was no flight risk, revealing how higher social standing receives preferential treatment in Japan's justice system. Despite DNA evidence confirming Yamaguchi's presence on her clothing, the police pushed her toward an out-of-court settlement, even driving her to a settlement specialist. On July 22, 2016, the case was officially dismissed. As a journalist, Ito sought to go public to prevent investigation distortion and raise awareness about quasi-rape. Reuters declined to investigate because she was their employee, and other journalists initially interested ultimately backed away. At a photography exhibition, Mary F. Calvert's series on military sexual assault survivors deeply moved her. A photo showing the diary of a Marine who was assaulted, bullied for reporting, discharged, and later died by suicide reminded Ito she still had a voice when others didn't. On May 29, 2017, she held a press conference at the Tokyo District Court despite significant resistance. The Foreign Correspondents Club refused to host her, calling her story too personal. After going public, she endured online harassment, doxing, and threats, collapsing after the conference and remaining bedridden for days. Going public meant accepting she might never work for Japanese companies again. Despite warnings that filing a complaint against the politically connected bureau chief would damage her career, she chose to believe in her abilities and began pitching documentary ideas to foreign media. 5 years after her assault, Ito won her civil trial for quasi-rape, with the court acknowledging there had not been consent and dismissing Yamaguchi's 130 million yen countersuit. Two questions still haunt her. Why did senior police official Itaru Nakamura cancel the arrest warrant? And why was key information omitted from the investigation? The facts remain clear. Yamaguchi and she met for work without romantic involvement. He knew she was in a stupor, brought her to his hotel room where sexual intercourse occurred, DNA evidence was found, and an arrest warrant was issued, then mysteriously canceled. As journalist Jody Cantor said about #MeToo, "You cannot solve a problem that you can't see." Through her courage, Shiori Ito has opened Japan's black box of sexual assault, challenging a system that protects perpetrators rather than victims. By refusing to disappear, she has sparked a movement for change in a society that has long kept such matters hidden.